Thank God for, I remember when that young lady was in the Half Note Choir with one of the young ladies that was born and raised in my home, and I'm thankful that we get them started early here, and the blessing of that is that we want them, just what they were singing, they want to praise the Lord for the rest of their life. We want to get them started early, amen, and we want them to keep on keeping on, amen, for the Lord Jesus all the way through. Let me say, as I start tonight, I don't want to take for granted. I just, as we ministered to people all over the property, I want you to know I still stand in awe. And even as the pastor, as I get to be able to be a part of it, I thank God that when people think about a church and the way it ought to be, I thank God that people come in and they go, man, I've not seen a place like that with a full choir like that in a long time. Singing out, singing for the Lord. I've not seen a place that sings the old hymns like this place. Amen. I've not seen a place that preaches it straight like this place. I'm just here to tell you folks, I get the blessing of hearing that at the door week after week. I get to visit homes of people that say something different about that place. And I get to see every day of my life, I get to see what makes us different. And it's you and the people that make up our church, our local church. And I get to see you. I get to watch the buses pull out of the bus lot. And that's what's different about us, folks. Sometimes people see things and that's their perception of it. But I watched all the people that were in key places making it happen. There were one person, thank God for Sunday school and that my kids have a place to go and be ministered to. Folks, that is old time way. If you don't know, if you don't understand, we live in a country and in a nation now where a bunch of people did away with Sunday school. We don't need it. And some people did it. They used COVID as an excuse to do it. And you say, Brother Parsons, you're picking on people. I'm not, folks. I really believe that we live in a day and age where there are some folks that are really handcuffed with all that's going on, but I've watched some that have braved the waters and knew it wouldn't be popular, but they kept on keeping on, and they kept it open, and they kept going, and they kept running, and God is blessing that. I believe that in this place. Thank you so much for doing your part, being in your place. You say, Brother Parsons, we don't have to be thanked. Amen. It's good to be thanked every once in a while. It's good to be reminded that it matters, that if you didn't get there and get in your spot, then it didn't get done, and I thank God for it, and I praise God for it. Here, I want to preach a message tonight, if I could, just for a few minutes tonight, and everybody can say, okay. And just discerning the old paths. I've kind of been on this mindset, at least for Restorathon and all these different things, of pressing on the old-time way, and I just think it would be helpful. God pressed upon my heart. There's a lot of young people in our church. There's a lot of middle-aged people in our church and a lot of older people in our church. And this world, sometimes there's things that change. And we need to have a discerning spirit about us. I think even when we get into Proverbs this Wednesday night, we're going to be in a place talking about discernment. And it's just the right exercise of wisdom. It's balancing knowledge and understanding and all the things that God gives us and making a discerning choice about what the most right or the most, if I could say it this way, what the will of God for my life is. There are people that don't believe that God has a perfect will for your life. They believe that God has a perfect will. I didn't know that. I just learned that in recent years, that some people, you know, they believe that God has a will and that we just get in on it. We're volunteers. Amen. And I believe I can read from the scripture clearly that there's a call without repentance, that people presses upon some people's heart to be in the bus ministry and some people to be in the choir. He presses upon some people to go in there and hug on the babies and change their diaper, and other people he does not press it upon their heart to go change the diapers. Okay. And so I'm just saying there are different things in the ministry God draws us to and puts in our heart to be a part. There are people that God pushes and upon your heart to give in certain ways, and God wants to use you that way. And God uses other people to go, like Brother Morgan that was here this morning, drawn out of our local church and sent across the seas to a foreign land, still part of us, but going out from us because of the call of God upon his life. And so I think we can clearly see those things. And I'm hoping tonight that some of this will help you in your own, just in the middle of the road experience of life, whatever God's doing in your life, this would help you make it a good discerning call on what God's doing with you and what God's will is for your life. Let's go to the Lord and ask him just to help us tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you'd move me out of the way, God, and that people would just be able to see the truth of your word tonight. That God, with the message that you laid upon my heart to deliver to your people, God, that you would allow me to just speak it without getting in the way, God, that you would just use my lips. Help me, Lord, to refrain any of me and to just only show you forth. Well, thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jeremiah chapter 6, this is a very familiar verse. But before I do this and begin, so I don't get off pace, this morning I began a story about Joe Biden. I began a story about a priest with a backbone. And then I just got after the Catholic religion and just ran a rabbit trail. I just went stabbing transubstantiation and I couldn't stop, okay? I couldn't help myself but get after the wrong thing, and I forgot to get back to the thing I was saying. And so, if you did not read it in the paper like I did or in the news this week, President Joe Biden stopped by a Catholic church that he is a part of, and not the one he goes to all the time, but on his travels, and there was a good for a Catholic, backboned man who knew his doctrine enough to know, he said, I will not be giving the sacraments or what they consider the, you know, transubstantiation. For them, they believe it is salvation. And he said, I'm not giving that to a baby killer. I won't be giving that to anybody that goes against the doctrines of, for them, they call it a church, but I don't consider it that. But, I mean, what they believe they are, he said, if you're not going to believe what we believe and you're going to go do what you want, then don't come in here looking for what we got. Amen. And he stood up. And you say, well, that, you know, you can't, well, the church can't give salvation to start with, folks. Amen. It just tells about the one that can save. And the sad, they have a sad picture of what they think salvation is, and I want to pray for them, but I'm glad for somebody that had at least enough backbone to go, oh no, you're not going to have it both ways. Oh no, you're not going to go over here and be one person and then come in here and act like it's okay. No, no, no. You're going down the road with yourself. I don't care who you are. Amen. Did you know that God is no respecter of persons? Amen. It does not matter what office you hold in the United States government. You're not going to get any more privileges than anybody else on planet Earth when it comes to the matter of salvation. And personally, it shouldn't be that way for us, or privilege. I believe here he's going to begin. And again, that was this morning's message. And so I'm tying back in. Did you know it was all time out when I took time out from then? Good grief. Amen. So anyway, that was all your time, okay? So I'm just kidding a little bit with you. Discerning the old past. Jeremiah 6 in chapter 16, he says here, thus saith the Lord. Now that ought to capture our attention right there. That ought to tell everybody that we ought to be on board with what comes next. It ought to tell us we ought to listen up for what thus saith the Lord is going to have for us. It's good. Now, we understand all this book is for us, but this is clear that God is speaking. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, now Pastor Carter always would say, and I believe it, changing sides of the street when it says but. So God told them what to do, and they changed sides of the street. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now that is a sad commentary on the people of God and the place they were in their lives. I have served the Lord with people when we had the message from our pastor, and thus saith the Lord. This is exactly what I believe the will of God is, and we need to get after it. We had Bible on it, and we were ready to go. And some of them decided, we will not walk therein. They decided that God's will wasn't their will, and they weren't going that way. Now, folks, that's a sad commentary on anybody that is called God's people. Now, these people, it's Israel. We understand the context. So again, for our admonition tonight, I want you to take the picture of what the message of God's prophet Jeremiah was to the people. He gives them this picture of the highway, if I could say it. The old dirt road, if you want to say that way. He's on that old road and he's standing there and he says, "Now, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways." The word ways there is not just one way, but two ways. And he said here, he's like, I believe they've come to a fork in the road. They've come to a place where there's two directions to go, and it's still in the right direction. He's not going back. He's not talking about backsliding. He said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Listen, young people, it's nothing wrong with getting some counsel on some things. It's nothing wrong to go to good, but don't go to your peers. Go to somebody who's been down the road a little farther than you've been down the road. Go to somebody that's stepped out on faith a couple of times and seen how it turned out. Amen and amen. When we go through this thing of life, so many times college students want to get the word of another college student to see if that's God's will. What are you thinking? All right, look at the other guys around you and realize they're just a knucklehead like you. All right, and ladies, I'm not going to get on you, but you know. If we dug through all that hair you got up there, you know. All right, you know the one next to you ain't got much more brains than you got about this thing. And so you ought to be asking somebody with maybe the same amount of hair, but maybe ought to be gray. Ought to be somebody that's been a little farther down the road than you've been and been down the bend and been through a couple wise in the road and have made good choices. And you can pick those people out. The Bible says, stand ye in the ways and see. Do you know before you go asking, you ought to see the results in their life before you go asking people? Has God blessed their life? Has God blessed their choices? Are they in the will of God in their life? Are they people that I can ask and they know, they can tell me the story of what God has done in their life and how he brought them through the wise in their life, and now they've landed upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and they're serving him with all they are. See those things before you go asking. And then ask. Amen. Now, don't say it here. And I'm not saying the Bible missed a step, but can I say this? If you ask, listen.
Yeah. Amen.
I've had a whole lot of people ask me questions about stuff and check out halfway through it because I didn't give them the answer they wanted to hear. Hey, folks, if you see that this is somebody I can trust to ask, then listen to what they've got to say. I don't like it when people take out their phones when I'm talking to them. Okay, I don't like that. Now, it may be your way to take your notes on your phone, but bring a piece of paper to a meeting with me. I don't mind if you take notes on paper, but if you're punching buttons on that phone, I get offended for some reason. Now, one of these days, I'll grow up, and I'll get past that. All right? And I may get a little offended, but man, I tell you what, it just seems rude because I don't know what you're doing on that magic box. I don't know what you're punching up. You could be ordering McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, but not on Sunday. So I don't know what you're doing. It depends on what day you're behind the desk with that thing. You say, Brother Parsons, I would never do that. People do that. Do you know these folks, I believe they listened. They were hearing, thus saith the Lord, but they had already made their mind up. They were not going to listen to a word. They didn't look for what God's will is. They decided, I've already made my mind up on what I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen.
There's some of them that may even, I mean, if we're talking about a nation here, we're talking about all these groups of people. You know, you got little ones. I want to be a fireman. And there's nothing wrong with being a fireman. I want to be a this. I want to be a that. But again, folks, mom and dads, I've had two kinds of people, mom and dad. Some that would say, you don't want to do that. That don't make no money. Or then one would say, well, you ought to ask God what he wants to do with your life.
Amen.
You ought to ask God what he sees in your life. And why don't you think about the gifts that God's given you? Or this job that you're looking for, are you going to be able to use the gifts God's given you in this life? Hey, you ones that can sing, man, I mean, are you going to be close enough to a local church to be able to serve in it? Are you going to be able to sing in that church? Are you going to be able to play a piano or whatever it is that you can do? Change diapers. We're talking about all these things. And he says here, he said, see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. So what am I asking for? Not just the old path, but one that I can see. I want to go the good way. I want to go the way that's going to be blessed. I want to go the way that's honoring God. I don't want to take the shortcut. Give me the good way. I don't want the shortcut that's going to bruise me up on the way. I don't want the shortcut that some people have taken and they still got back on the road and made it, but they got beat up along the way. If you had seen them when they came through all the thorns and the thistles going that way, the shortcut way, yeah, they made it back all right. It wasn't a bad, bad way, but it wasn't a good way. You say, Brother Parsons, this is a simple message. Boy, I wish everybody would hear it. Amen. I wish you'd all listen enough to have taken heed and listen and act, put it into action in your life. You young people, the ones that sang tonight, little kids, if you put that in action in your life, man, God would do something with your life. Amen. God would take and raise you up and set you upon a solid rock. And you would bring glory to the name of God with your life if you would just follow him and follow the good way. Hey, teenagers. If you followed God's way and got on his good way and not the one that you think is the best way, you could bring glory to God with your life as well. I'll just say this while I'm talking to teenagers. You know you don't have to go out into sin and mess your life up for God to have to pick you up and clean you up like a prodigal just for you to be able to get back and serve him. You don't have to do that. You can stay in the church and you can live the right way. You can keep yourself pure and you can live right and stay on the good way, and God will honor that and bless you and in your family. And let me, by the way, while I'm on this one talking to the teenagers, listen to me. You will reap what you sow. And you may not understand what that means, but I'm an old farm boy. And that means for every kernel you plant, there'll be an ear that you dig up. All right? And so when the sprouts come up, listen, let me tell you. You will see, if you sow things that, okay, let me put it into perspective. If you, whatever you're going to plant, you're going to have to buy that harvest. All right? That is what you're going to be, that's what you're going to be eating come wintertime. That's the old way. All right, whatever you put in the ground, you can sure it's going to come up and you're going to have to eat it. So if you don't listen, you say, well, what I'm sowing today, I don't have to worry about that for the rest of my life. That's not the Bible way. The Bible says you, whatever you sow, you're going to reap.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. So I want to sow on the good way. I want to put seed into good ground. For those of you, when we talk about Restore-a-thon, you know what one of the greatest blessings of my life, most of you, when you talk about the ministries of this local church, when we talk about investing ourselves, whether it be our money, our time, our efforts, our prayers, whatever it is that we invest, I know I'm planting it in good soil. I know I'm in the good way, and I'm looking to reap a good harvest someday down the road because of I put it in the right place so that God could bless it. Don't think that you're going to send your money to the 700 club and that it's going to sprout up and be everything that you thought it would be. You might as well give it to save the polar bears. That's about how profitable it's probably going to be. Don't go calling. If somebody calls you and says, send me the prayer cloth so I can lay my $20 under the prayer cloth and it can be multiplied, that's a bunch of foolishness and that's a bunch of junk. You say, Brother Parsons, I never would be duped with that. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll get somebody that's really, really sly and they'll talk you into some kind a mess that you'll get tied up in. Have some discernment. Before you say, I'll do that, ask somebody that's been down that fork in the road.
Amen.
Say, Brother Parsons, you preaching to the choir? Absolutely. Let me just deal with this right here, all right? I've talked to the college students, dealt with some of the high school students. You may not have been there. Let me just say this. I'm tired of feeling weird when I say pastor. When I say pastor, I'm talking about Pastor Carter. And I think I'm going to have to continue to say that because he is still going to pastor me and help me. Is that okay with you all?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm not going to say Pastor Emeritus. I can't get that out all the time. Okay.
And sometimes I speak too fast to say that. And I want to say to you, it would be disrespectful for you to call him Brother Carter. He is Dr. Carter, or he is pastor. He is still pastor. All right? It's good to call him that. Give him and show him reverence. I plan on doing that. And if you were worried about what am I going to call him, just call him pastor. Amen. Don't make it weird. Honor him and love him. It's all right. I love him. And if you don't honor him, I'll probably say, what are you doing calling him Brother Carter? That's not right. Dr. Carter. Pastor Carter. Amen. Is that all right with everybody?
Yes,
everybody all right? I don't want to make it weird. I just want to tell you that sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm saying the wrong thing. And I understand. We're all in that middle ground together. I'm just going to call him pastor. So when I say pastor, I'm talking about Pastor Carter. Everybody clear?
Amen.
All right. I punched my clock on that one. That was a timeout for you again. All right. So the good way, and then once I've decided, once I've seen who I should ask, once I've asked the right person that's on the way, that's been down the road, the one that's doing the right thing, and I find out which way is the good way, the Bible says to walk therein. Now that seems so simple. Doesn't that seem like that is simple? You know, I've learned this about an almighty God. He knows who you are and who I am, and he did not make it hard. He did not want to complicate things because he knew we already get confused with the simplest of things. Sometimes we already have our own argument with ourselves whether this is going to be profitable for us or whether we ought to do our own thing. We're already battling the spirit and the flesh, and he didn't want to complicate it. Find a good way and walk therein. Do you know when we talk about somebody that gets out of God's will, a lot of times we call them a backslider. Because they got on the good way and they were walking therein. And something caused them to slip. I want to just tell you, I always think when I think of this road, because of all the songs and the scripture and going up to Jerusalem, I always think about the good way being an upward path. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. That's what I think about when I think about the Christian life. And sometimes when I know, not meaning to, but I'm on the good way, and my foot slips. The Bible talks about that. And your foot slips. Sometimes you don't go way back, but you don't keep pressing on. And the foot slips back out of the way. Discernment. What do I do in this time? Do I keep on keeping on? Do I get up and dust myself off? Or do I, oh, this is too hard. I can't press on. This is too much for me. Well, listen, I just want to tell you, folks, I want to be on the old path. And I don't want to be going the wrong way or be called a backslider. I want to press on. Now you say, Brother Parsons, what if I've been backsliding? What if I've been? Then get turned around.
Amen.
The prodigal son went into the hog pen and he went way down.
Amen.
But he had a heavenly father, I think that's pictured in there, but his father was waiting on him, wasn't he? He was anticipating the return of his son. The Bible says when he saw him coming, that he ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And I serve a great God that when I slip, even if I get turned around in this thing, when I turn back to him, he meets me wherever I'm at on the road. And he falls on my neck and hugs me and comforts me and says, boy, I'm glad you turned around. I'm glad you're back in the good way. I'm glad you're pressing on. Amen. I'm glad you decided to walk therein. Let me just say this. If you really want to find, this is one of the things that I found in the scripture several times lately that God's been dealing with me. And I just want to put it out there. He finishes the verse, and ye shall find rest for your souls. We are not a single part being. We are made in the image of an almighty God. And we're building different parts, and God desperately, as a Christian, even though this body might be in a world of tribulation, we serve a God, when we are going the good way, we can find rest for our souls. The reason the world cannot have that rest that we find is because they're going the wrong way. They're contrary to an almighty God. They don't have a spirit of God that comforts. The Bible calls him our comforter. the one that helps us find rest for our souls, that reassures us along the road, that we're pressing on. And it's a good thing. I know you're getting weary, but don't get weary in well-doing. Press on for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so good to us along the old time way. And I know this old path that we're speaking of here, there was a group of people, and there will be a group of people that will in time, and even in good times when it seems like everything's going right and everybody's doing right, somebody will decide, I ain't going with you. Somebody will just decide. And listen, it's not for us to go screaming back and then belittling them. It's not for us to turn back and say, I knew you were sorry the whole time. Right. I knew it was going to happen. I told you on this day, this time, he wouldn't make it till now. See, he's turned around. Or she. You say, Brother Parsons, we would never do that. Listen, I've been around churches long enough to know people talk.
Right.
And all the talk isn't always encouraging. Amen. And most of the stuff that's not encouraging, usually people that know somebody that's not going to take that will form it. I need you to pray for so-and-so. Could you pray for so-and-so because they're in a bad... Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for somebody, folks. But again, there's a lot of gossip that gets framed in quotes of a prayer list. Amen and amen. So listen, you say, well, Brother Parsons, why would you say that? Because I'm trying to help you how to have discernment to stay on the old time way. Do you know that sometimes when somebody else slips, you get turned the wrong way watching them instead of keeping on for Jesus Christ? You get stopped along the way standing when you know which way you ought to be going, watching them and talking about them. Talking bad about them while they're backsliding. And you're just driving them the wrong direction and not encouraging, not helping, not giving them what they ought to have.
Amen.
Say, Brother Parsons, that's not encouraging. Well, neither is it to the person that turned around and went the wrong way. They desperately need a church family to be looking to restore.
Amen.
They desperately need a church family to be looking to be spiritual. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Do you know that no matter how far a person went, if they walk in the back door of this building and they own membership in the Landmark Baptist Church and they walk down this aisle and they fall on their face before God and they repent, truly repent of their sin and ask the church of forgiveness. Ask the church, I'm so sorry. That is what church discipline's all about. And the church's job is to fall on their neck and kiss them and hug them and restore them and thank them for coming back and beg God for their restoration and that they're sincere. It's not your job to stand in the back and go, we'll see in 2 weeks.
Right. Come on.
We'll see if they really mean it. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Parsons. I appreciate the encouragement tonight, but I'm just here to tell you, we are in the old time church was not a church of polished Pharisees. It was a church that loved people. And even when people went out, but when they came back, those people fell on their neck and loved them and kissed them and restored them and allowed them to come back to a church where they could be healed and helped.
Amen.
Tell me this, would you, as a believer, not want other people to find rest for their souls? If one of them that has been backsliding stopped and tried to follow the old time way and they stood on the wayside to see which way the right way was, and they stopped and asked you, what should I do? Where's the good way? Wouldn't you tell them to come with you? Hey, come on down to the Landmark Baptist Church. It's the greatest church on planet Earth. We're headed the right way. Boy, people there will love you. Man, nobody's going to judge you. They're going to love you back into the fold. They're going to help you. They're going to restore you.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, I desperately want to be I thank God that I am part of that kind of church.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I pastor that kind of people that are looking to restore the one that's gone down the wrong road. Listen, it's no good if all we have is grace on lost people, we don't really have grace with people. If all we can find is comfort for those that we think don't know any better, and all, well, they don't know any better, they're lost, and we can win them to Christ and bring them in, but the one that has been and grown up here, we can't find any ground of grace for them. Shame on us if we can't find a place of return. If we can't find and welcome them back with open arms. This place ought to be a hospital, not just for the lost, but those that are backslid and wayward from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to love those people. Some of them, do you know most of those people that get outside of the local church? They're already guilt-ridden. They already think when they walk in that back door. See, I know how most of you folks are. You're talking amongst yourself and having a good fellowship time. You're having a good time, but when they walk in the back door, they think you're talking about them. If you don't run to them and tell them how glad you're there, they'll look and say, look, they're talking about me. Even though you may be talking about sports, you may be talking about Restorathon, you may be talking about 3-on-3 men's basketball, or ladies if we have enough of them, but you may be talking about one of those things. But they don't know that you love them until you run to them. And you say, I'm so glad you're back. They know then that you are talking about them, but in a right way. Many times, if we're not careful, everybody waits on somebody else to be the one that runs to them. Everybody waits for somebody else to be the first one. Well, should we welcome them back or not? Let me see if the preacher goes. Maybe the preacher's busy and he can't see them. Maybe the usher's busy and he didn't see them. Maybe somebody that was their best friend didn't see him come in. And all they got is you. You be the first one to go. You be the first one to welcome. Don't let them get in the building. Run them down in the parking lot. Amen. Some of them, I've known people, folks, and I'm not trying to get off base here. I've known people that made it as far as this parking lot of this church but did not grace the doors because they were worried about what people was going to say if they came in the doors. They knew they needed help, and they parked just about 30 feet from where they could get it. But they were scared to death to get out of their car because of what people might think, what people might say. You say, we're not that bad. I don't believe we're that bad. I don't believe we're a church that is so judgmental that we'd run people off. I don't believe that, but I don't ever want us to get to that place. Amen. It's good for us to be reminded that this is a place of restoration, not a place of judgment. I do believe one day judgment will start at the door of the church, according to the scripture. But today hadn't been that day yet. Today is a day of grace. And if he had grace for me and mercy on me, I sure should have grace and mercy on everybody else. Amen. Every one of us should take the position. Like Paul the Apostle said, of sinners, I'm chief.
That's right.
Don't ever put yourself up on a soapbox so high that you can't step down and hug somebody's neck and bring them back into the fold. I'm so thankful as I preach this morning that I have a good shepherd. And that good shepherd's so good that even sometimes when we meet together and he's with us, he's Almighty God and he's looking for the one that left. Even though the 99 showed up in church, he's looking for the one that left home. He's looking for the one that needed restoration. He's looking for the one that needs him more than maybe we do that day. We need enough to stay in the good way. And other people are looking to find to get back on that road. Look at it with me this way. Look at Romans chapter number 12. And I just want to give you the points and I'll be done tonight. Chapter 12, verse 1. Discerning the old way starts with the way of consecration. I got to consecrate myself to God. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
How about this? The way of education, and we don't have to turn there for time's sake tonight, but we need to have the way of education. You know, once you get consecrated, God expects you to learn some things. We have Sunday school. We have preaching that helps us, but that's not just, I mean, if you're a babe in Christ or you're a believer, you either want milk or steak. Give me the good word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, Brother Parsons, why is that so important? Because so many people don't rightly divide the word of God. I have to be a student because I want to stay on the good way. And if I don't rightly discern the scripture, somebody or somebody on the internet or somebody that down the road, I told somebody this morning at the back door, you can mark her down. If you're watching some internet preacher and they start their message with, forget everything you've ever studied about this. That is the mark of somebody's trying to trick you. That is a mark of somebody just trying to get you to drink the Kool-Aid. That is a mark of a cult. Listen, somebody says, listen, let's turn in our Bibles. If they start with not turning in your Bibles, but forget everything you ever learned, because you know what they're telling you? You may not think they're doing that, but they're telling you everything that you've ever learned is wrong. And to throw that away and listen to me because I know all. No, folks, that's not the way we're supposed to be. I can tell you about some people that believe some bad doctrine and they start all their campaigns. Forget everything you know about the book of Revelation. Forget everything you ever been taught about this or that. That's a mark of a cult, folks. You can mark her down. It's bad, bad news. And then the way of exhortation. Say, Brother Parsons, the way of exhortation, yes. Look at chapter 12 and a little bit lower, verse number 8. Or he that exhorteth, look, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. This exhortation is encouragement. You know, every one of us need encouragement to be in the old paths, in the old way. Every one of us need to be reaffirmed both from the scripture and from other believers that we're headed in the right direction. Every one of us need that encouragement. Hey, brother, I'm praying for you. Not just the preacher, not just the assistant pastor, not just the bus captains, but everybody that sits in this building needs somebody to encourage them to keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. Hey, you're coming to the right church. You're doing the right thing. You're reading the right Bible. You're listening to the right stuff. Keep on keeping on. You say, Brother Parsons, that's simple. No, it's not simple, because if we're not careful, we're constantly looking for someone else to encourage us instead of being someone who exhorts someone else to go on for God. I've learned this in my life. When I get... If I want to be blessed, if I want to be encouraged, I have to be an encourager. When I encourage someone else, do you know I get about twice or three times the blessings? He is never not going to pay me back. If I want to have prayers prayed for me, I've got to pray. If I want, you say, well, that's not how it works. I really believe that God is a good God and that I can't outgive him. And that don't just work with money. And if I pray, then if I give him my time in prayer, he's going to baptize me with prayers. If I give myself an encouragement, you know what I find? Other people are encouraging to me. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't know if it works that way. I sure hope it does, because that's what the Bible says. He says here in this chapter, chapter 12, he goes through the Christian life, not just in consecration, but he goes through this. He says ministry in verse 7. Back in verse 6, he talks about the gifts differing according to the grace of God. He talks about in verse 9 about love. You know, I found this to be true, and I'm looking for a place to try to help you tonight, just to find a way to say, people, love without dissimulation. Nothing is worse than a fake smile sometimes in a church house. You pasted it on and people can tell. You say, well, sometimes I'm hurting. I know, but sometimes let us know you're hurting so we can help. Let love be without dissimulation. How about you parents with your children? Your kids desperately need to know that you love them and that you believe that they are going to be, something great for God. They desperately need it. They desperately need to be exhorted by mom and dad and by other believers, their teachers, everyone around them. Too many times as believers, too many times, we only pick out and point out the wrong. We never encourage the good. We always point out the things. It's a terrible thing. Let me tell you, this is in a confessional booth tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, if the only times that my kid ever gets my approval is when they bring an A and wave it in my face, I've not done them a service. I am not the dad that I ought to be. If my child can get a B and they worked hard on it, I ought to have a spell over B. If my kid stood up here and sang tonight, that ought to have been like they hit a home run at a baseball game. Too many times we get excited because they can shoot a basketball, or because they can hit a baseball, or they can catch a ball. But man, if they work security, we ought to tell them how proud we are of them. If they work the nursery, we ought to tell them how proud we are that they took and did something for God. If they worked the bus route and they did a good job and they led to singing or they preached on their bus, it ought to be big time to us. Folks, I'm telling you, sometimes we forget the things that we know to be true, that they need all these things. Why aren't our kids surrendering to the Lord? Because that's not what we brag on them for. Why isn't Bible college important to our kids? Because that's not what we brag on them for. We'll brag on them if they can throw a knife or shoot a gun or shoot a basketball or throw a football or run a touchdown. But when they do something for the Lord, we just feel like that's their duty. That's what they ought to be doing. Folks, that is not the normal thing. Do you realize serving God is normal for a Christian, but it is not normal in this world? Well, they got to, because I drag them to church, and I drag them back home, and I drag them here, and I drag them there. Help them start to make good choices for themselves. And when they make right choices, when they sing for the Lord, brag on them. When they make a right choice and say something, when they stand up to somebody in school for the right, you better brag on them. I know as a daddy, I like for my boys, if somebody pushed on my boy, I'm just going to tell you, I know I don't have to be the principal. He's the principal over here, all right? I'm just the school administrator over top some of it now. but I just believe boys ought to be boys. And if one boy shoves my boy, you say, well, he should turn the other cheek. I'm just telling you, he's not Jesus yet. Amen. All right? And I believe that it's not the end of the world if the boys out there get like rock 'em, sock 'em robots a little bit. We are not a school that's going to call the police. All right, the parents may call the police, but we are not going to call the police, because that is what young boys, sometimes they got that in them. And sometimes it's good for them to get that out. Some of the best friends I got in this world, I laid out a couple times. Amen. It tightened up our friendship. We got closer at times than I have been with anyone else. Amen. You say, Brother Parsons, I'm just telling you, so many times in this life, we brag on the things that will not matter in eternity. But we make much of things that are so temporal in this life. I want my children to love other people like Jesus loved them. I want my children to realize that if they spend their life wrapped up in pouring it into themselves, they will not be happy. I want them to realize that they have to give their life to Jesus for others. It's an old saying, folks, but true joy is Jesus, others, and then you. Amen. It's a simple recipe. Discerning the old path. The old path hasn't changed. It's still in the same place. People can still see people on the way. And if they stop and ask you, tell them how good it is. Amen. Try not to be a complainer at that moment. Right. And then encourage them to go with you. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, would you stand to your feet with me? Didn't preach a salvation message tonight, but that doesn't mean that you can't get saved. If you came here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, you don't know if you died today, that you'd spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ because you don't know him personally as your Savior. What you ought to do tonight is when the music begins to play, you ought to step out and walk an old path down an old-fashioned aisle and let one of these folks in the front take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to meet you down there. If you're a believer, you know what you ought to do tonight? If God spoke to your heart, you ought to step out and come down an old-fashioned aisle and just talk to the Lord about it. God, help me to be an encourager. God, help me to stay on the old path. God, help me to be what I ought to be. God, help me. God, help me with whatever it is that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart about tonight. Folks, the altar is a place that should be used because it's a place that we are altered.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Tonight we have so many things to old time pass and things to think about and pray about. And even as parents, you know, one of the worst things we can do, I don't want to do in my life. I don't want to spend a lifetime of regret. I don't want to regret how I dealt with my children. I want to thank God for them, and I want to make sure that I push them off in the right way and that I guide them in the right direction. And you say, well, Brother Parsons, how do I find rest for my soul? You're never too late. It's never a day that's too late to love on your children. To tell them, folks, I'm going to tell you, I know I'm still preaching, but I want you to know some of the best things in this life have been when my mom or dad looked at me, because I already knew they weren't perfect. But they looked at me and they told me they were sorry. And they asked me to forgive them. And they told me that they loved me. Hey, folks, let's not be so prideful with our own children that we can't love them back into the fold. That we can't love them on for Jesus and where he needs them to be. Folks, I don't know about you, but I know this. I'm not just pastoring my own children. There are people in this building and on your bus routes and everywhere that they don't have parents that love them in the Lord like we do. And some of these guys, they think it's funny, and sometimes they call me Father Parsons, but it's not because I'm the Pope. It's because they look at me like a father figure, and I love them, and I want to invest in their lives. And I want desperately to take that place if they don't have somebody in their life that'll love them that way, that'll love them like Jesus would love them. You say, Brother Parsons, is that true? Man, it's true. All these bus captains, I can tell you right now, if you ask them, I bet they'd fill up both hands with kids that need their love. They need somebody to love them and care for them. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. Tonight, I don't know if you can see my heart tonight, but my heart is I love people.
God called me to pastor. Amen. And he's given me a love for people. And I love the families in our church. And more than anything, I want your family to be the best family. I want your family to be blessed. I want you to have the love. I want you to stay together. I want you to move through the church together. I want all those things for you. And God sometimes squeezes me so much that the juice comes out my eyes. Amen. When I preach the word of God to you. And I hope tonight that something was said that helped you, that would help your family, that you'll walk therein, that you'll add to your family. Amen. I hope that you talk to God about it at the altar. And I hope you'll practice it through the week. Sometimes, boy, it doesn't do us any good to be doers, hearers of the word, but we have to be doers. We have to put it into practice. If we're not careful, we'll be forgetful hearers, the Bible says. And we'll just go on, and nothing will change. If you want change in your family, you have to enact it. You have to step out in it. You have to do it. Amen. Let's pray together tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Come on and pray for me, brother.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the privilege, Lord, that we have, Lord, to come to your house, Lord, just and encourage one another, Lord, and restore one another. Lord, just please be with us, Lord. Help us live for you this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.